Hey, this is Travis Kelce, NFL tight end and proud member of the Lowe's Home Team. Lowe's knows when you've got the best price, you've already won. That's why we offer the lowest price guarantee. If you find a better price online or in-store, we'll match it. Now you can score on the top brands from the Lowe's Home Team picks, like Scott's, LG, and DeWalt. So take on your projects with confidence. Lowe's is the exclusive home improvement retail partner of the NFL.
Price match applies to same item, current price at qualifying retailers. Exclusions and terms apply. Learn how we'll match price at Lowe's.com/lowest price guarantee.
Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this 29th day. My gosh, 29th day of November. One day left in this month. It's unbelievable. And indeed, this is the voice of the Christian resistance. And our producer tonight with a smile for a while is that Kyle. Hey, Kyle.
Hey, Pastor. Happy Wednesday to you.
Well, happy Wednesday to you. And we have our special guest tonight is, speaking of Wednesday, this is Wendy Wednesday. Hey, Wendy.
Yes. Good evening.
There you go. And we have way out yonder the legend himself, none other than the parson, Joe Larson.
Yeah, I'm here. Hi, Wendy. Glad to have
you
on.
Pastor. Oh, hi, Pastor Joe. Nice to be with you.
It's nice to be with you, too.
We're ready to go to work, boss.
Let's get her done, then. Remember the title of the message?
Fear God and God alone.
Amen to that.
Pretty now, clear message, huh?
Yep. Let's pick it up in 1 Peter chapter 3, or chapter 4, rather, with verse 4. 1 Peter 4 with verse 4.
4.
Let's,
all right.
Yeah.
4
okay.
through 6.
Yeah, read 4 through 6.
Wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit.
All right, so Joe, what's he talking about? Where, and they think it's strange that you run not with them to the same excess. Apparently, he's talking about there's been a conversion. You're a different type of person now, and your old friends can't understand why the change? What the change in you is all about?
Yeah, how come you're not drinking and rioting and staying up all night and partying and all that good stuff, right?
Yeah. And so I know in my own life, after I was saved as a young man, there was quite a difference. And and let me tell you, it made some of my old friends nervous because they didn't know what to expect.
They didn't want to hang around anymore because you wouldn't drink, wouldn't cuss, wouldn't get into fights, all kinds of things. It was like, what's wrong with this guy?
Was it that way with you, Wendy, when you were out there cussing and fighting? And
well, yes and no. I mean, I just know that, you know, once I did get saved, you know, friends did change. They did. It's almost like, you know, someone, a widowed woman with kids, you know, she's kind of a third wheel and she doesn't fit in with married folks that well and that kind of thing. So you're kind of an oddball. Yeah.
Yeah. What if you were an oddball before you got saved?
I'm sorry, say that again?
What if you were an oddball before you got saved?
Well, then I guess you're still kind of peculiar, I suppose.
Yeah, we'll move on
just
from here.
Just in a different way, right?
Oh, right. Who shall give account to him? Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but alive according to God in the spirit. So what's he talking about? Why would you want to preach to dead people?
Because we're dead to sin.
Well, those right. that are dead. Now, we're dead to sin.
We are born again and are freed from that. And he's, you know, I guess it's there. We live according to God because of the indwelling of the Spirit.
Well, yeah, he's telling you before you were saved, you were dead. You were dead in your sin. So that's what he's referring to, dead in the sin. And so here now, he goes on, but the end of all things is at hand. Be you therefore sober and watch unto you, watch unto prayer. Now, this was written 2,000 years ago. How was the end of all things at hand 2,000 years ago? We're still here now, aren't we?
We are. The church age is still here. We're drawing near the end of it. But when he says the end of all things, it was the beginning of the end. The church age is really the beginning of the end, isn't it?
Well, what he was referring to, both Peter and Paul and John, they all were expected the imminent return of the Lord at any time. They expected that
right.
the Lord was going to return at any time, and that's why he was saying that all things are at hand. But you're right in the sense, too, that we are nearing the end of the sixth dispensation period, which is the church age. And so this is why you read in 2 Timothy 3, in the last days, where it's very specific, referring to the last part, the very end of the sixth dispensation. Above all things...
The scripture also says, what, 1,000 years is like, you know, a day unto the Lord or something. Time is not the same to him as it is us.
Yeah, I know. It's the time takes us, its toll on us. Mm-hmm. You've seen what time has done to us, Joe.
Yep.
Okay, so
feel it.
Yeah,
feel
so
it.
This is when we get our new bodies. Once we get our glorified bodies, time will have no more effect. There will be no more aging, and time will be no more for us.
Hey, Pastor.
Yes, ma'am.
You hear about people who have those near-death experiences and stuff, and they say they visit heaven and they see people there and they talk to Jesus and all that. And they tell you there's no old people there.
Well, the common theory amongst theologians that's been this way for many, many centuries is that, now it doesn't specifically say this in Scripture, but that when we die, because it says we will be like him, Christ, we will be like him, and he was at the age of 33. And so common theory is amongst many of the Old Testament theologians is that, or the Bible theologians is that we're all going to appear at the age of 33.
Wow.
How did you look when you were 33?
No, I'm not too bad. I was actually pregnant with my third child, so.
I mean, you don't look bad now. You know.
Well, I was, you know, I had that glow and all that stuff they tell you pregnant women have.
Well, Joe and I never got any glow.
But, no.
So,
after glow is the only thing I've ever had.
We didn't get glow. What we got was slow and more so every day. All righty. Let's move on. We got to get serious here now. And above all things, fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Oh. Hey, yeah. Joe, turn over to James 5:20. James, read me 19 and 20. James chapter 5, and read me 19 and 20.
Oh, come on. I'm having lost it.
I can get there fast if you want me to.
You probably can. I just went right.
Let me do it.
James 5. Here it is. Just I went past James 5, 19 and 20. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth a sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sin.
All right. Very good. You know, it kind of refers to this over in Proverbs 10:12 too. So here, again, above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. You know, that's an interesting thing. Because over the years, you know, over the very many years, I had... Before I was saved, I was kind of a rowdy individual. I know that's hard to believe, but many of my friends back, many of my friends back in those days, I was peculiar before peculiar was popular. But anyhow, many of my friends back in those days went to prison. That's how I got started in the prison ministry, going to visit my friends after I got saved. And often, when they would be getting out, they couldn't get out unless they had a place to, you know, stay temporarily for at least a few days. And so I would let them come and live with us. Now, so I knew these people, and like I said, I used to run with a tough group. But my poor wife, she was not real comfortable with having. People that were in prison for various things, especially sex crimes or whatever that had gotten out, and robbery. And so I remember when Timmy come along and she said, no, before our first child is born here, no more murderers, no more rapists, no more. And so I agreed. I didn't bring in any more prison inmates into the house. But, you know, since then, well, I've had a lot of very famous people come and stay with us, my wife and I. And,
Some really good people.
Well, I had you and Harriet staying here, too, didn't
we? I was hoping you'd remember that.
Yeah. Over the years, so, yeah.
Bill Fetter, a bunch of people.
Bill Fetter stayed here with me several times, probably half a dozen, and Dr. Dixon.
He wanted to rent your basement, but you wouldn't let him.
Yep. Dr. Dixon. I'm going to tell you, Sheriff Mack. McTurnan was probably been here, you know, 10, 12 times. He's probably stayed here with us. So, yeah, we've had, a whole lot of... very famous people that have been, they've come in and they've stayed here with us. And so here, and which has been a blessing, people in the ministry, and my wife, I'll give her credit, she goes out of her way to be very, very hospitable. And she's not like me, she's more of an introvert than, so she's not quite like we are, Joe. As every man hath received a gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good shepherds of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as in the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as to the ability of God given that.
Which God giveth, yeah.
Which God giveth, that in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So now, what's he talking about when he says the oracles of God?
Be the messages, the truths of God.
Oracles simply means doctrine. The doctrines
okay,
of God.
Okay, well, the messages, his truth, all make up his doctrine.
And so here now, so what is he talking about, you know, the many, many... manifold of grace, we all have gifts, and he's telling you here that if you have a gift, use that gift, okay? In other words, if God gives you a gift, does God know the best for you, or do you know the best for you?
God knows the best for you.
And so there are people that have gifts that would rather have another gift. For example, I had a friend, I know I mentioned this before, and he wanted to be a preacher, but he was a very small man who stuttered, and he had a very soft voice. He would speak so softly, and those aren't really good attributes for a preacher, okay? But he was good where it came to a good Bible teacher. He understood, and he studied. And so God had given him the gift of teaching, but he really wanted to be a preacher. Well, over the years, he got a little bit better, and things did get better. But when God gives you a gift, go along with him, right? I mean, he knows what your future is going to be, don't he?
He does, and sometimes if you are willing to do what he asks you, he equips you. I never thought of myself as being a preacher at all, and it was kind of like he called me to it, and like Scripture said, if you go and do what he tells you, he will equip you. I'm a better teacher than I was a preacher, in that sense. But he gave me more opportunities probably to teach than to preach.
So when you're ordained, on your ordination, they usually have a gift, the gift that God has given you. And do you remember what that was when you were ordained?
No, to be honest, I really don't.
Okay, well, I remember because I was our consul that ordained you years ago.
Right.
But I don't think I'll tell you.
Oh, okay.
No.
I've had my head scrambled since then. There's some things I do not remember anymore.
I'll leave it up to Wendy. Should I tell him, Wendy?
Yeah, I think you should.
Okay. you have the same gift that I was given. It was written... Exhortation.
Okay.
That was your gift as pastors, preachers, prophets need to exhort people to action. And that was what my gift was. And so here, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. I would... I had a lady tell me about it last week. She kind of popped off, and she doesn't agree with the pre-trib rapture of the church, this and that. And like so many people say, you people think that nothing's going to happen to you, that all you have to do is stay and hang in there, and when things get really bad, the Lord Jesus is going to come and take you away. Joe, for 50 years... I've been preaching what the Bible preaches. It says that we will have tribulation.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
so,
you and I have had quite a few of them.
Right. And people will often don't know what they're talking about. They don't listen. They're not paying attention. And so, but there's a major difference between tribulation. Listen, right now the persecution of the church worldwide is worse than it's ever been. You and I were talking about last week.
Yep, 22, and it's getting worse by the week, yeah.
Just in 1 year, last year, 22,000 Armenians were killed. You didn't hear anything, none of that on the news, did you?
Wasn't important. It wasn't a big thing at all. 22,000, Christians, no big deal.
In Europe right now, what's happening in Europe when it comes to Christians?
They're being persecuted. They're being jailed. There was a soldier that was arrested, and they're going to throw him in jail for silent prayer.
Just in the past year.
Silently, and they wanted to put him in jail for it.
Just in the past year, there's been an increase of, 44% in anti-Christian attacks?
Yeah.
And so, but are you hearing anything about that on the news?
Nope.
No, it's because
crickets.
It's...
We hear crickets, a lot of sound of crickets.
Because the anti-Christian attacks coming from communists and Muslims. He goes on to say, if you be a reproach for the name of Christ, happy are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. And so, what is the Spirit of truth?
Jesus is, well, his word.
Well, he's talking about the Holy Spirit here, yeah.
Spirit, yeah.
Rests upon us.
Well, he's the one that gives you that. It's actually, I was thinking, I was trying to find Matthew 5, verse 11. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely, for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you.
So we're going to have tribulation, and is it going to increase up until the time the Lord Jesus comes back? Are we going to see... are we going to see this, the righteous becoming more righteous and the wicked becoming more wicked?
Right.
Okay.
Exactly.
And that's exactly what we're seeing today, exactly. And we're seeing the lines, and this is what one of the things people often ask me, Pastor, are we going to have a civil war? Are we going to have a civil war? Because, again, the wicked are becoming so much more wicked today. And the righteous are, we're seeing... many, many going back to the fundamentalist Bible-believing church. And so both those things are happening at once. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer or as a busybody in other men's matters. If any man suffer as Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on that behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin in the house of God. And if it begins at a... begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel? So it begins in the house of God, and in that house it begins in the pulpit, and that's right. Where our Lord has been so dishonored is from the pulpits, really.
Especially like when he calls us to be watchmen, it said in there, if we do not warn the people, the blood, if things go wrong, is on our hands. But if we warn the people and make sure they understand the danger and what's going on, then if, you know, things befall them badly, then we are clear of that shedding innocent blood.
This next verse, Joe, this next verse should send shivers down the spines of many people. And if the righteous scarcely be saved, what shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. We'll be back right after this.
Just a baby, your carpenter's sky can be heard. Son of God, Son of Man, He is salvation's plan for the earth.
That was Lisa and Lisa, and he's my Lord, too. And listen, I got some announcement here to make. First of all, you know, we have been losing ground to the Antichrist, heathen, communists, because the very few of us, all of these years, the very few of us have been doing most all of the fighting, while the many have kind of sat back and avoided the fight. As Ben Franklin said, we will either stand together or we shall surely hang separately. Folks, get involved. Get involved. We can no longer afford to have the few of us doing most of the fighting. Become a doer of the word, not just a hearer, deceiving your own selves. You know, you think, well, you're going to trade a little bit of comfort instead of running to the battle and jumping in. You're going to trade a little bit of comfort for some major crowns when you get to glory. Not a good trade. And so we need here, the doers of the Word Baptist Church, What's Right, What's Left Ministries, we need more and more volunteers. We've always got more work than we have people. Just things like people just in there during the day to answer the telephones, to wrap up packages, and answering a number of the letters, especially the prison inmate letters and things that we get. We need people just to read emails. Just recently, we had to delete 34,000 emails. Just to read emails and bring to my attention the ones of importance. And here also to look for potential guests on the radio here. Also to attend Tea Party meetings, tactical civics meetings, and most important, the most important thing, actually, too, is to believe, is to attend the Bible study, but also the prayer meetings on Thursday morning. Tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock, Doers of the Word Baptist Church, we're going to be in prayer. All of you folks out there, we'll have a great big stack of probably a foot high of prayer requests from you folks out there that have supported us, and we spread them up, and we pray for you. You've blessed us, and we pray for you. And just speaking of that right now, I just wanted to say right now, folks, we could use a little extra prayer from you and a little extra financial support from you too at this time. So if the Lord leads you to do so, we could use that. Now, after saying all that, I want to remind you that coming up this Friday, the Doors of the Word Baptist Church at 7 p.m., Tactical Civics. There's going to be a Tactical Civics. Across the country, counties are picking up. We want to take our country back, and we're doing that county by county. And so we need you to get involved out here for the Geauga County area, or Portage, or Lake, or Cuyahoga, those at Doors of the Word Baptist Church tomorrow at 7 p.m. We're going to have Tactical Civics. We learn how to form the militia as according to our Constitution, what's required. And folks, again, we form the militia, and what else do we do, Joe? Grand juries.
Grand juries set up.
We learn how to have a citizen's grand jury, which the Constitution teaches, not with crooked, corrupt prosecutors, but citizens' grand juries. And citizens' grand juries can bring those crooked, corrupt prosecutors to justice. And that's what we're going to be talking about this coming Friday at 7 p.m. at Doors of the Word Church at 14781. That's 14781 Sperry Road in Newberry. And then also, Joe, on Sunday, this coming Sunday, and Wendy, December 3rd, it's our annual Geauga County Right to Life Christian Concert. And, folks, there's no fee. We go on love offerings, but the Pastor Steve over there at the Chester Christian Center, he really puts together a beautiful, beautiful concert. You feel so blessed in the songs, in the fellowship. And that's going to be this coming Sunday at 7 p.m. at 11815 Chillicothe, which is Route 306 Road in Chesterland. That's 11815 Chillicothe Road in Chesterland this coming Sunday evening. And I will, Lord's willing, I will be there meeting and greeting and speaking. And so, with that, I want to turn...
Before
yes.
you go on, the left has, for many years, used the legal system, the courts, against us to pass things they couldn't pass through the legislative process because they've loaded the courts with liberal judges. This tactical civics, by setting up the grand jury is a way we can fight back, use the constitutional legal system to actually fight back and do one better.
Well, tomorrow evening, we're going to be talking about that right here with Jan Porter on how the state representatives here in Ohio, how we're going to use our Constitution, how they're going to put a hold or rein in these activist judges who are legislating from the bench. So that's what we're going to be talking about tomorrow night. But right now, I got to go to thepowerherbs.com with Miss Wendy Wilson because we're using her time. Hey, Wendy.
Oh. Hey, I thought we'd talk about... Well, let me ask you this question, Pastor.
Yes, ma'am.
Genetics, DNA, how accurate do you think it is?
Well, I tell you, I don't really think it's real accurate. Because
well, it's a question I was asking too, you know. But, you know, I like to, you know, scour the medical journals and see what they're saying about stuff like this. So, you know, modern medicine uses a lot of fallback excuses for conditions they don't fully understand by saying in a way like, oh, it has to be genetic. In other words, there's really no outward influences that contributed to your disease, either you were probably born with it. Now, in some instances, that may be true. But here's a short list of some of the conditions science says tend to be genetic. Autoimmune diseases, cancer, heart disease, diabetes, and psychiatric illnesses. Now, the number one influence, though, I have found the number one influence for a lot of health conditions is brought about by what we expose our bodies to. So lifestyle is usually a major culprit, So we tend to live and eat like our family members. So therefore, there's this connection in our family tree, certain health conditions that we may get down the road because we tend to live like they did. So prescribed medications also, Pastor, tend to be taken into account when you take them into the body. They, too, can bring about some health problems, yet science has a different position on it. They're looking at polygenic scores. I don't know if you've heard that term, but they want to test people genetically and give them a genetic polygenic score. And this helps them predict what your health conditions are going to be. Here's a quote from the British Medical Journal in March of 2023. They said, the development and use of polygenic scores is attracting money and attention. But for most common diseases, the unglamorous but well-established risk factor like smoking and obesity and socioeconomic deprivation tend to matter more than a person's genetic background. So we need to invest in tracking lifestyle as a risk factor. So they're getting it right. The British Medical Journal, they're seeing it, and they understand a lot of this genetic stuff is a little bit of blowing air up your skirt, if you know what I mean.
Well, yeah, it does. You know, there's things that common sense, like people that smoke four packs of cigarettes a day, likely to get lung cancer, okay? And people that, you know, drink 2 gallons of red wine a day, liable to get liver disease, okay?
Sure, so, yeah. Well, those aren't genetic. Those, you know, cause and effect. This research at the University College of London in October this year. They had some findings. They were looking at a very large study that was published in the October British Medical Journal, and it was regarding human genes related to disease. So the research looked at 926 gene-related risks of 310 diseases. So science calls this polygenic health risk, and they tend to apply scores to patients to offer an estimate of their disease risk. The overall findings, guess what, Pastor, said this. Only 11% accurate that people developed the disease. 5% of the people who tested positive don't even develop the disease at all. And unaffected people outnumbered those that were affected. And more false positives than true positive results came from the genetic test. So here's the problem. The test that they use to predict a patient's health risk to a condition has an impossible task of assessing millions of genetic variants, making the test likely to produce a false report. So medical science is using tests like this to screen for common conditions like heart disease. However, perhaps the inaccuracy of the test is really not a concern for modern medicine, but an advantage, as it seems to have 90% false positive results, putting more people through expensive tests and toxic drug therapies. So I keep saying a lot of tests sometimes, some of these tests are just to sell a procedure.
Well, you're not kidding. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay. So University of College, they said this. Companies have already been established to sell polygenic risk score testing, and it's a major tool for us nationwide in our future health project. It has been claimed by science that polygenic risk scores will transform the prediction and treatment of common diseases, end of quote. But here is, this is Professor Arun Hingal. He is a medical doctor, professor of cardiovascular science, University College of London. He says this, strong claims have been made about the potential of polygenic risk scores in medicine, but our study shows that this is not justified. He goes on to say, we found that when held to the same standards as employed for other tests in medicine, polygenic risk scores perform poorly for prediction and screening across a range of common diseases. So the report also went on to state that if you are polygenic tested, let's say for breast cancer or coronary artery disease, the risk scores will offer 88 to 90% of those tested will get a positive risk score. 5% are not affected by the disease, and 10 to 12% of the cases will present as an actual health risk. Wherefore, in May of 2020, Science's polygenic testing for, let's say, diabetes would score a report of 59 to 65% predictable risk for that disease. So here's what doctors have been reading in their medical journals, Pastor. This is National Library of Medicine Biotechnology, May 2020. They said, genome-wide associated studies have shown unequivocally that common complex disorders have a polygenic genetic architecture and have enabled researchers to identify genetic variants associated with diseases. These variants can be combined into a polygenic risk score that captures part of an individual's susceptibility to the disease. Polygenetic risk scores have been widely applied in research studies confirming the association between the scores and the disease status, end of quote. They go on to say polygenic risk scores have moved from research discovery studies into clinical research studies and have now been started on a slow path to clinical implementation. So the strongest evidence of polygenic risk scores currently comes from cardiovascular diseases and breast cancer, where the risk stratification of those at high polygenic risk has clinical utility. Clinical utility. Do you know what that means, Pastor?
No, what does it mean?
It means money.
Well, yeah, that's, you know, that's what it, you know, usually, like Solomon said, money answereth all things.
And that's exactly what you have. So this genetic testing is being sold as a health risk reduction to patients. Prediction versus explanation. So here are some of the scientists now within medicine. They're not completely sold on this polygenic risk score theory as being reliable. Let me read you a quote from Molecule Psychiatry, October 2021. And they said, proclaiming that these processes make polygenic scores confounded based on inflated predictors and it confuses explanations and prediction, these studies require enormous efforts because samples of unpredicted size are needed to pan for specks of gold from the sand of millions. So what they're saying is the studies on polygenic stuff hasn't been large enough to encompass all the genetic variants all over the world, okay? The British Medical Journal says, we must not let enthusiasm around polygenic scores allow us to forget other factors that are bigger, more modifiable, and reliant for everyone. So they're referring to, you know, lifestyle, diet, and exercise. They go on to say, we argue that enthusiasm around the polygenic score theory not to distract us from efforts to tackle big, modifiable environmental risk factors, which is, in general, to the population, offering a wide utility. So another concern our scientists are having is your genetic pool that they're often using for your pro-polygenic research is not a broad genetic one. Here's what British Medical Journal says. The genetic variants used in the polygenic scores are established in genome-wide association studies with over 95% of the participants in these studies are Eastern European. These scores will typically have lower predictive accuracy for applied to people who are non-European ancestry. Think about that. Right?
Well, you know, I think about this when I hear about this Ancestry.com and others, and the accuracy of this. And I don't think it's very real dependable, do you?
Well, obviously, you know, man is infallible. There's nothing that's 100%, apparently. The British Journal goes on to say, it's been suggested your polygenic risk scores could be introduced early to help prevent breast cancer and heart disease, but in the examples we looked at, we found that the scores contributed little, if any, health benefit while adding cost and complexity. We need to protect the public from unrealistic expectations and already a stretched public health system from becoming overburdened by the management of false positive results. Our results build on evidence that indicates that polygenic risk scores do not have a role in the public health screening program, end of quote. So what have we learned here? Scientific medicine, like other businesses, uses new ways to sell patients on their treatments. So always investigate tests and treatments. British Medical Journal also concludes, contrary to what many people might expect regarding genetics, a high polygenic score will generally have a rather underwhelming impact on absolute risk, and both clinicians and the public need to know this. So what I keep telling people is don't let them manufacture a disease on a score that's false positive. So I often say within scientific research, the studies offering new ways to diagnose a disease and sell more treatments, sending patients through tests are often used to promote a treatment. And this is why it's really important to, number one, investigate the accuracy of your test. Number two, get second opinions. And number three, be open to other options for any necessary treatment. And other options may be what God intended. In the scripture, he said, medicinal herbs are here for the service of man and the healing of the nation. Consider that possibly, right?
Yeah, you know,
go ahead, Pastor.
Well, you know, the thing of it is, with God, he knew what he was doing, right? And, I mean, it's always been, you know, God's natural herbs have got 100%, 100% effective. And they're there to actually cure, not to treat the symptoms, but to cure the disease. And yet, I don't know, people just amaze me. I've avoided drugs my whole life. Don't take any of them, okay? Anything from Big Pharma. But anyhow, go ahead, Joe.
I was thinking, you know, you go back, there have been snake oil salesmen. Yeah, you go clear back in history, that somebody's always had a cure for something to take somebody's money. And to me, this is just high-tech snake oil. And, you know, once in a while it may be right, but it's got an equal chance of once in a while being wrong. And they're going to charge a lot of money because this is new, this is the end thing. And how many of these things have we seen come and go? And they still can't cure the common cold. They still can't stop cancer. They've got treatments. But, you know, there's a long way to go on all of this. So every time something like this comes out, there's always a lot of hype and sales pitch. And you wait just a little while, and all of a sudden you don't hear much. So that's what I think is going to happen. There are going to be some few people spend a lot of money for nothing. And after enough people get smart, they'll quit pushing it as much or come up with a new angle.
Let me see. What could I possibly say would fit that? It could be the COVID shots, right? The kill.
Oh, yeah. That will it'll save you from dying, but it'll make sure you get COVID. And COVID can kill you. So, yeah, it's the same nut stuff.
Well, the thing to remember is your medicinal plants, Pastor, are packed full of nutrition, a lot of minerals, vitamins, amino acids, and things. And this helps the body operate like it should. So it really helps the body correct an imbalance and function normally again. And, you know, what is the definition of a cure in the medical textbooks? It's to put the person back to their original wellness, okay? So if people are popping pills daily for the rest of their life, they're on these metabolic pills for whatever condition they're on, that's not putting you back to your original wellness, because in your original wellness you weren't popping pills. So
right.
it's disease management, because well people don't make them any money. It's, you know, managing your sickness makes them the most money.
Exactly. Now, curing it doesn't make money, but giving them a lifetime medication, that is what makes money.
Right. Now, I think medicine, don't get me wrong, has its place. I think, you know, trauma care and things like that, it's very necessary. And you may need to be on a medication for a short term to stabilize somebody. But I don't think God intended us to need a pharmaceutical industry to be well. And if you look back in history, the Greek physicians, they educated their patients, okay? And they did it so well that eventually the patients didn't come see the physicians because they had their own herb gardens. They were doing what the Greek physicians said to do. And so what the Greek physicians had to do, Pastor, is they had to go work for the Roman army when they would go on these crusades and stuff, and they would travel with the army. And a lot of times you'd have, you know, a long time, but, you know, if they were camped out around a city or a town that they were going to invade, you had time to plant an herb garden. That's how long they were there. And so they were actually taking care of the wounded, in battle. So that's, I just think that's an important lesson. They trained their patients to be well, and they stayed well. Hello?
Yep. God said it, and I believe it. And Wendy, you've got a sale going on, and we're running out of time. I want you to stay over. I know I told you you could go after and get your beauty sleep, but there's a clip, just a very short clip, I want you to hear right at the top of the hour. So, folks, thepowerherbs.com, 866-229-3663. Wendy's extending her 25% off sale till when, Wendy?
Tomorrow. Tomorrow's the last day.
All right, so you get the stuff tomorrow. Go up on their website, thepowerherbs.com. All natural medicine, the what the God gave us. See, God knows what he's doing, believe me. Trust me on this one. God always knows what he's doing. I've been using her herbs for years and years. Now, Wendy, we're coming up to a break. Stay there because I want you to hear this short clip. Be right back. Don't go away.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. TheWordCleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.
Turbulent times call for clear-headed insight. That's hard to come by these days, especially on TV. That's where we come in. Salem News Channel has the greatest collection of conservative minds all in one place. People you know and trust, like Dennis Prager, Eric Metaxas, Charlie Kirk, and more. Unfiltered, unapologetic truth. Find what you're searching for at snc.tv and on Local Now, Channel 525.